Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Glad to have you with us today. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted Ross at the controls. Carissa's at the phones. And Ted, I saw this quote from Winston Churchill. Thought it might be appropriate today. Success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm.
Boy, yeah, and he demonstrated that, didn't he?
Well, he did, yes, and encouraged those students right at the chapel, never give up, right? Mm-hmm. Never, never. Sam Levinson says, you must learn from the mistakes of others. You can't possibly live long enough to make them all yourself. Okay. Now, we're not talking about failure and mistakes today, but we are talking about ways that we can maybe redirect our work, our career. And we're going to talk about some practical ways that you can pivot to your best career. That's the subtitle of a new book from Robert Dickey III called Love Your Work. Proverbs 12:11 says, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. So how do we know if we're chasing the right goal, the right role for us? So we're going to find out today.
Getting a little guidance is always a good thing.
I think it is. Well, and it's this seems like a good time to be doing it, too, because, you know, students graduating from colleges and universities and heading out to the workforce or heading back to mom's house.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
right.
Where it is, but we're going to talk. And, or maybe you're in a season, a transition in your life. Maybe you are trying to re-enter the workforce, all the kids are gone, and say now it's time to get back, and how do I do that? Or you're maybe in a position that's just not fulfilling or it's not rewarding in some way. We're going to talk careers today and would love to have you join us. We're going to attempt to take a phone call or two, and we're working out of a new studio today. So we'll see how that works. And you could, you know, you could try it with us, right?
I mean, yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
Right. Well,
okay.
You don't
all right.
Think
yeah.
About
so
that.
We already talked about failure without losing enthusiasm. So that's the deal. Robert Dickey III is back with us today on Connecting Faith. He's served as a decorated Air Force officer, the CEO of an international company, and as a leader of several nonprofits. He became president of Crown Ministries back in 2011. And Bob and his wife reside in Knoxville, Tennessee. They have six children and a couple of dogs. And Bob's written several books, and we love having him on with us for his enthusiasm. And we're going to talk about his new book, Love Your Work, Four Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. Bob, welcome back. Good to have you on.
It is always an honor to be with you guys, so thank you so much for having me on the program today.
We do have some copies of the book to give away, so you can call for that at 877-933-2484 and sign up for this great resource, because it will be a great help to you at whatever stage you might be in your career, and certainly for maybe a young person in your house that just needs some help in getting started. So sign up for a copy of Love Your Work from Robert Dickey, Four Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. Bob, let's talk a little bit about, you know, latest figures suggest the U.S. economy is starting to add more jobs. So how do we interpret those numbers?
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, if you take a look at any major newspaper and the television programs, everyone's reporting that we're at one of the lowest unemployment levels in the last decade, and everyone's cheering, everyone's excited. And what I'd like the listeners to think about today is the Great Recession that we went through. That was like a big thunderstorm. Think about those thunderstorms that roll into our town. You have the lightning crash, and it's scary. It causes some damage, but sooner or later, those storm clouds kind of roll off, and they dissipate into the distance, and everything gets back to normal, seemingly. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Recessions come and go. They're like thunderstorms. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there are tectonic shifts happening within our economy right now. Think about this as an earthquake. These are structural movements that are happening underneath our feet. A lot of people are not aware of them, and they are going to have massive, massive long-term implications in our economy. So even though those big storm clouds of the recession have moved away, even though employment is now at a 10-year low, and everyone thinks like, oh, we're getting back to normal, there are still massive fundamental changes that are happening to our global economy right now. That's what we need to be prepared for.
Well, I guess that maybe brings up the subtitle of your book. You're talking about four practical ways you can pivot to your best career. Maybe we need to, I mean, maybe all of us are going to be forced to pivot if we're going to handle the shifts, right? I mean, we're going to be we don't have any other choice, perhaps.
Absolutely. So here's one data point. I just reached out. I'm preparing for a talk in St. Louis here in a few days. And I reached out to one of my friends who is a private equity manager here within the U.S., one of the founding members of TED Talks. If you are familiar with those TED-style talks that everyone listens to.
So well, he goes of course, Ted's my producer, so I mean, he talks to me all the time. So I'm very familiar with it, yes.
You're in good company. So I reached out to him, and I said, look, Tom, I want some real information hot off the presses of what you're seeing within Silicon Valley and things that I can share with the folks that are going to be listening to this talk. He said, Bob, one of the biggest things that people are not aware of is that Donald Trump, President Trump, was ushered into office because he kept talking about all this offshoring, all these jobs that had been offshored, and he was going to bring all these jobs back to America. Even if we erect these big walls, even if we stop all of these manufacturing jobs from the United States moving overseas, he goes, that's nothing compared to what automation is doing. President Trump, any party within the United States is not going to be able to stop technological advances that are automating jobs, and it's happening at a very rapid rate. And every single sector of the U.S. economy is being impacted by this. And so he said, folks need to understand that within the next 5 to 10 years, you have huge sectors of the economy, the retail sector, which employs up to 15% of U.S. workers. Many of those jobs are going to be automated. The driving industry, the trucking industry, that's being automated right now. We've got Volvo testing semi-trailers right now on U.S. highways with no driver. It's 100% autonomous. And about 15% of American working males have a job that's tied to transportation and trucking. So he goes, what happens when we hit that inflection point? He said, this is something that we're not going to be able to stop because these advances are happening so rapidly. So the key is, no matter what industry we're in, whether we're in radio, we're in media, we're in nonprofit work, whether we're at retail, whatever, these changes are going to impact all of us. We have to have our eyes open. We have to be prepared. We have to take steps right now because our industries are going to be impacted. And if we take proper precautions, if we take those proper steps, we'll be prepared and we'll be able to actually have opportunity and we won't be under threat of losing our job.
Wow. Just these are interesting days. And obviously, I mean, as you said, even with a wall and if all the manufacturing jobs came back, it's still not going to compare with where we're going. I'm wondering if, Bob, we can just talk a little bit about, this week, this past week, maybe next week, a lot of graduations, thousands of young adults going to be thrust out into the workforce. Let's talk about which ones are going to be successful and why.
Well, the Wall Street Journal just within the last week ran a big article and was talking about how graduating college seniors today are entering into one of the better job market opportunities in the last decade. Wages have actually increased a little bit. That's great. So the prospects for them are better than in years past. However, here are the areas of economic growth, the places where there is massive opportunity in the next 10, 15, 20 years, a long runway. So anything that's related to technology. Technology is changing the world. Anything related into software and software development. Some of the things like blockchain technology. We've heard about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. There's other things in terms of data science and data analytics. So this was a field that hadn't even been wasn't even a major offered in these fields a few years ago. And now it is the it degree to have. If you're in data science or data analytics, you basically can name your price. And they are in high demand by every single company that's out there within the U.S. economy. But, technology, software, and people might say, well, Bob, I graduated with a bachelor of arts degree. I'm a liberal arts major. I'm an English or history guy. I mean, I'm not a programmer. Do I have opportunity in this new economy? The answer is yes, because all of these tech companies, all of these areas of growth, whether it's green technologies and renewable energies, those companies, they need people inside those companies who know how to write content that are creative. And so what you want to do is you might want to take your soft skills or that liberal arts degree, and instead of getting hired into an old economy manufacturing, you know, facility or something that was a hot sector maybe in the 80s and 90s, find those hot sectors here in the new economy and get hired into those companies. You'll be taken along with that momentum, that fast-moving current within the new economy.
Talking with Bob Dickey today, Robert Dickey III is the CEO of Crown Ministries, and he has authored several books, a decorated Air Force officer, and has a unique career path. And he understands the changing job market, and the book we're referencing today is called Love Your Work, Four Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. We're going to talk about those four practical ways. We do want to just encourage you, though, if you have a question of whatever kind of career path you're on at the moment and you're thinking a pivot's necessary, or you've got maybe a young grad in your house, or you are a young grad and just looking for a little advice, Bob's the guy to talk to. We'll get you some free career counseling here today on the show. In fact, you know, Crown Ministries has a great program called the Career Direct. We'll touch on that a little bit as well. We also have some copies of Robert's book, Love Your Work, and you can sign up for a copy by giving us a phone call. We'll do a drawing at the top of the hour. The phone number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we're going to continue talking with Robert Dickey in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. Future's here, right? How can we be prepared for it? How can we find our way in the new economy? Talking Love Your Work, Four Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. Robert Dickey III is my guest today, and Robert serves as the CEO of Crown Ministries, and he's had a pretty interesting career path as a decorated Air Force officer, a CEO of an international company. He's familiar with our changing job market and how to navigate it, and we welcome you to join the conversation with a phone call at 877-933-2484. As we talk jobs and career, 877-93-FAITH. Or it might be more convenient for you to just drop us an email. We've got an email link on our show page. If you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, there's an email link there. You can just submit your question, and we'll get to it here in the moments ahead. Robert, you talk about the subtitle, Four Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. Let's talk about those four ways. Just give us a little content summary of what we're talking about in today's world of work.
Well, where we all want to be, let's talk about the destination first of all. We want to be in the zone of renewal. You know, the Bible talks an awful lot about us constantly being in a state of renewal, renewing our mind and our spirit. And in the economy, the zone of renewal is a place where we have great opportunity with what we're doing. We might be at a great company, a great job, but there's a lot of opportunity for advancement, to take care of our families, for promotion. But there's also a great ability for us to be passionate. We're very, very passionate about what we're doing. So it's the perfect intersection of opportunity and passion. That's where we want to be. Now, there's going to be some people who are listening today, and they're like, boy, I am right there. I'm in that zone of renewal. I love it. I love what I do every single day. I'm making progress. Here's the thing. Here's a word of caution for someone who's in that zone. If you are complacent, if you take your eye off the ball, if you start to rest on your laurels and you don't stay connected and understand what's going on in the world around you, how your industry is going to be impacted by technology and change, if you're not adding new skills and if you're not adding new abilities, it's going to be very easy for the world to pass you by and for you to fall out of that zone of renewal and into one of the other three quadrants. And there's a lot of people within our economy that find themselves in one of the other three quadrants. So let's go to one of the toughest ones to get out of. Now, it's very possible to get out of this one, but it's just a little more difficult than the other two. And this is the zone of reinvention. This is a place where someone, either they've been fired or they've been let go, and they have to completely reinvent themselves. It might be a person who's in a job, and this is where you have low opportunity for advancement. It might be a dead-end career, and you're not very passionate. You have very low passion. You're basically just going in. You're checking the clock. You're like, oh, I'm doing it for the paycheck, but I can't stand what I do. 80%, A Wall Street Journal article said 80% of people are going to work today and they hate either their job or their boss. That's a horrible way to live a life. That's, those people are in the zone of reinvention. They need to reinvent themselves. So I highlight a number of practical steps of how do we reinvent ourselves in midlife. A lot of people, midlife, 30, 40, 50, are having to reinvent themselves to go and get a different job or have a different career. Well, let's talk about the other two zones that people will a lot of times find themselves in. Sometimes they will find themselves in the zone where they need to re-vector. A person who needs to re-vector is someone who might be very passionate about their job or about what they're doing, about the industry that they're in, but for whatever reason, they have very low opportunity. So they just need to make an ever so slight adjustment. It's like flying an airplane, just ever so slightly make an adjustment so that they can get into a zone where there's more opportunity. They still want to do what they love, but let's just re-vector ever so slightly. The other one is a place, this is where we repurpose. So this is the exact opposite of revectoring. This is an individual who has tons of opportunity. They're in a great job, but they absolutely hate it. They're not passionate about it. And I talk to people like this all the time. These are, a lot of times, these are people who took jobs because their mom or their dad told them it would be a great opportunity. They've become doctors. They've become lawyers. They're in a great profession. They're making a big salary, but they go to work every single day. And they're like, you know what? This is not how God made me. I'm not wired this way. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to do something else. And so there's a complete different track for people who find themselves in that spot in life where they need to repurpose. One of the great stories that I love in my book, I talk about a young attorney. He was a hot shot attorney, young kid. He was about ready to be made partner of a very prestigious law firm here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he just felt like God was calling him to do something else. Brilliant, brilliant attorney. The day that he's walking into the building to accept being made partner for this law firm, he had talked to his wife, he had talked to his parents, he had prayed about it. He walked in, he turned down the opportunity. He decided he was going to go to seminary and be a minister. And so he's just now graduated from Baylor Seminary, and he is loving it. He is a pastor, he's thriving. Has all sorts of great career opportunities. And you know what he told me? He said, Bob, I thought I was turning my back on the law field. I thought God was calling me in the ministry, which he was, but he's opened up an opportunity for me as a pastor to use my legal degree, my legal profession, and I'm still able to help people in that area. So there's all sorts of opportunities. If people are not in that zone of renewal and you feel that you're in that spot where you need to re-vector or repurpose or maybe even reinvent, God's got a plan for you. There's practical and easy ways to do it. It takes a little time, takes a little work, but with a little due diligence, we can all re-vector back into that zone of renewal. That's where God wants us to be.
You know, I was thinking, Bob, that we love those stories about, you know, someone finding their sweet spot, but, you know, we'd like to get to that before we're actually walking in the door to take that new job. I mean, how do we step back maybe to the beginning or some foundation things so that we don't have to maybe pursue a wrong path and have to sort of do a sharp U-turn right at the end?
That is the best question you could have asked. And I'm passionate about this. I take people at the very beginning of the book, Neil. I take people through the process, say, look, don't make one of these career mistakes if you have the opportunity. And don't try to chase the money. Don't try to chase what's going to make you successful. But if we start off, first and foremost, truly understanding who we are and how our Creator God made us and our unique design. Each one of us, Larry Burkett, the founder of our ministry, said each one of us is as unique as a snowflake, right? So each one of us has a unique design given to us by God with unique passions and skills and interests. So when we understand that, then we can kind of craft a plan where we can live in alignment with how God made us. That's where we're going to have ultimate success. And so one of the things that I'm extremely passionate about is to tell people about Career Direct. This is an online software tool that we have at Crown, and we take people through this consultation process. And they go through this online diagnostic, and they get a 35-page report, and it gives them a full breakdown. It's like a Myers-Briggs personality assessment, except it goes a lot deeper. And this was designed by a bunch of PhDs at the University of Georgia. It's been scientifically tested. It's used all over the world. And it helps people really nail what are their unique skills, passions, interests? How has God made me? And from there, they can sit down with a consultant and they can craft a life plan. And the consultant can sit with them and say, hey, look, have you considered opportunities in this career field? Or if you consider doing this because this is in alignment, this is how you can best use the skills that God gave you. So I highly recommend it. It's called Career Direct. And folks, if they just go to your website, I'm sure you'll put a link up there. I want to point people back to the radio station, and I'm sure you can direct them in the right, sure, in the right location.
But otherwise, what, crown.org/careers? Is that what would just crown.org? Would that do it?
If you go to crown.org, you'll find information on it. It's right there on the main homepage under careers. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Bob, did you, we've heard reports that today's maybe millennial or young person is going to have maybe, 14, 15, 16 different, maybe not careers, but certainly different jobs. I mean, and you had a pretty wide range of things. Are you speaking now to say, hey, do what I say, not what I do? I mean, did you just make a lot of mistakes in your journey, or was that all part of, your ability to pivot?
Well, I wouldn't call it mistakes. When I take a look in the rearview mirror, I see that God was leading me, and I didn't design it. I have a very nonlinear career. I mean, I started off, I graduated University of Tennessee, and I went in the military. I felt like that was where God was calling me, where the doors of opportunity were opening. This is what I wanted to do. And then uniquely, as I continued to pray, as I, and journeyed in my relationship with the Lord, He opened up opportunities. And from there, I went into the private sector, and I led a company in the private sector. And then I left that and started a startup company, which eventually led me to come and be the president of Crown. And each step along the way, I see that God was opening up doors, putting me in a different spot. I couldn't have designed this had I tried. But people look at my career and they're like, wow, you've got a lot of diversity in your career. And it was God all along the way preparing me and getting me ready for new positions of leadership and where He wanted me to be. So I would tell people this. It's very important to create a plan. But realize that God's got a plan, and He's going to direct your path. And it's important for us to be wise. It's important for us to have discernment and to have proper planning. But He may, you may not see all the little twists and turns where your life is going to take, and God's going to open up doors of opportunity for you that you may have never even imagined be possible. That's certainly the story for me. And for young millennials today, the way that our grandparents or my grandparents came up, where they went to high school and then entered into the workforce at General Motors and was at a company for 35 years, 40 years, and then retired. I mean, that's a relic of the past. Young millennials today better be ready to pivot. They'll work for a multitude of different companies. They'll be in a multitude of different industries. So there's skill sets that we have to acquire along the way to be able to thrive in this new environment. But and sometimes it can be stressful. But you know what? If we just sit back and we understand that our life is in the hands of God and He's got a plan for us, it's an amazing journey. And just enjoy that journey every step of the way.
Robert Dickey III is my guest today, CEO of Crown Ministries, author of a wonderful book called Love Your Work, 4 Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. We've got some copies to give away. You can get signed up for one, a drawing at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. I want to answer your career questions, too. What are you concerned about in your career, job moves? We'll take your calls coming up after this short break. Talking about doing our work well to the glory of God, how do we make sure that we're in a vibrant workplace? We had a chance to talk to Paul White not too long ago, a psychologist, author, and speaker, about making work relationships work. And we talked about overcoming some of the obstacles to building a culture of appreciation. Let's hear a little bit of Dr. Paul White.
Any of us, and all of us, have, assuming we work in relationship to someone around us, and whether it's customers or colleagues or vendors, have the ability to influence those around us. And the first thing, especially in a more toxic kind of place, is to not engage in the negative. I mean, don't join into the cynicism, the sarcasm, the complaining and grumbling, the cutting remarks, the gossip. Just remove yourself. Sometimes it's helpful to just sort of walk away silently. You don't have to put people down, you know, but just don't engage in that so that you're not fueling that negative energy. So that's the first. That's helpful, but that doesn't necessarily turn things around because people can continue to do that. So the second is what? It's to engage in positive comments and interactions. And so that can be saying thanks to a colleague for doing something for you or with you or the quality of job they did. But sometimes if there's a lot of negativity going on, you're sort of looking for what, you know, is there something positive I can say? Sometimes it's just like, wow, what a beautiful day. I'm just loving the blue sky out there. Or, you know, isn't it cool how we have safe water to drink and we have, you know, access to medicine and so forth. Let's say if you just got, you know, over a cold or being sick. So sometimes we've got to really help sort of turn people's vision away from all this negativity and say, yeah, there are things to be thankful about. And just obviously these things are mentioned in scripture all over the place. And I just want to mention that both of our books, Dr. Chapman and I didn't write it from an overtly Christian perspective on purpose, even though we obviously come at it from a biblical worldview of people have value just because we are God's creations. But we wanted the materials to be able to be used in settings where, you know, Bible verses wouldn't be accepted. And so fortunately, we've been used in public schools, in hospitals, in the military, in various government settings, and, you know, numerous private sector settings. So it's not that we don't believe in the truth of the word. In fact, you know, that's the basis of everything. But we just felt like it would be more receptive by people who and organizations that don't share that with us.
You know, I'm wondering if we just take a few minutes to talk about the five love languages of appreciation. I mean, we, you know, familiar with Dr. Chapman's work, and you've, you know, co-written this with him, but maybe just to give some tangibles, some examples. Here's, if you, you know, your love language is this, or somebody, you know, find out what it is, and here's how you can show appreciation. Why don't we go through those?
Sure. So the most common language of appreciation in the workplace is words of affirmation, and it's about 45% of the workforce out of the 100,000 people that we've had take the inventory. And probably the simplest way to think about that is that people like to hear that they've done a good job. But lots of times we actually miss the boat because we're too vague. And one survey we gave, people said a phrase I don't like to hear is good job because it's so generic. And one worker told me, they wouldn't know if I did a good job or not because they don't know what I do, you know. And so the way to give an effective compliment is to first of all use the person's name. We like to hear our name. If you're writing it, make sure you spell their name correctly because there's a lot of different ways to spell names today. So it could be Michelle, and then you tell specifically something that you value or appreciate that they've done. Michelle, thank you for getting your report to me on time and so that I can, you know, use it. And the third part of that is why it's important that she did that. And it's either important to you or important to the organization or your customers. Michelle, thank you for getting your report to me done and on time. That way I can turn my report around in time without being super pressured and get that to my supervisor as well. So use your name, use the person's name, give a specific, and then why that action's important. Time, quality time in the workplace can take a couple different forms. One, some people really do value time with their manager or supervisor, and either to be able to share observations and give input or to be able to get some instruction and help. But I've had some people say, I don't like individual time with my supervisor. They're pretty intense, and I'm sort of shy. But the kind of time I like is hanging out with my colleagues. And so that could be going out to lunch or just hanging out at break time or after work. And so one of the things we did in our inventory is not only identify the languages that people like, but the specific actions and from whom they want it so that we help people hit the mark. One of the things we know that one of the obstacles is busyness, you know, that people are busy. They have plenty to do. So we try to help make things very simple, practical, so that you can just do a little something different and it makes a difference versus wasting time and energy. Acts of service is largely doing small things that help make your colleague's day or week go better. And the best way to think about it is sort of the context when you're sort of at a time deadline, you got some project or something coming up that you, an event that you're working on, that it's got to get stuff done, and you're just, you're really working hard to make it happen. What's something somebody could do that would help make that go easier? I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, bringing in lunch for you so that you can, you know, keep working through lunch. It could be sort of managing your incoming calls for an hour or so that you can, you know, focus on getting this project done. And actually the most common act of service request that we found in the general workplace is help get my computer to work right. I was speaking to Microsoft managers, and they started to boo me about that. But I said, no, it's true. I mean, you know, whether the certain program doesn't work or whatever. So you may not be able to fix it, but you may be able to facilitate getting, you know, the computer guy, the IT person to help you out. And then you're laughing about that, Neil. There must be some.
Well, it's just, yeah, that is not my gift. And, you know, yeah, we end up just sort of, you end up working around or put stuff off because you say, well, I can't quite figure out how to do that. And, yeah, it's sort of an ongoing. And,
right.
And of course, the, you know, the IT folks are great, but they've got plenty to do. And so they get to you when they get to you.
Well, and that's actually part of the our appreciation at work model is that this works across departments. Mm-hmm. What's a department you want to make sure you're on the good side of?
Yeah.
IT, you know, and also maybe human resources for payroll and maybe facilities if something breaks, you know. And so what's cool is this can work across the organization, and it's not top down. So a person who is a receptionist or who's an assistant in a certain department, they can communicate appreciation at a personal level to somebody else who's helped, you know, solve a problem or whatever. So it's not this top-down kind of management approach.
So we talked about words of appreciation, quality time, acts of services, a couple of more.
Yep. Yeah, tangible gifts. Tangible gifts, like I said, it's not bonuses. It's not raises. It's basically small things that help show that you're getting to know the other person and what they like. So you have a guess about what the most common tangible gift is in the workplace?
I'm thinking probably not the keychain, but the gift card maybe, huh?
That's second.
Okay.
The first one is food. You know, so you find out what somebody's favorite coffee is and you maybe bring that in for them. Or if you're ordering pizza, you know, find out, make sure you know what kind of pizza they like. And it can be, chocolate is always good. But it can be small things as well. But it's less about the thing and the amount, but it's that they get to know you. So, like, we do chocolate at my office, and I have one colleague who likes dark chocolate, you know, and so we make sure she gets the dark chocolate, you know. And it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it's that you're paying attention to who they are, and you want to make sure that they feel like, hey, I'm paying attention to what you like.
Mm.
And then the last one is physical touch. And like I mentioned, it's not group hugs and it actually differs regionally. You know, I lived in the South for a while and they do side hugs and that kind of stuff. In the upper Midwest, it's mainly, you know, a high five, a fist bump, maybe a congratulatory handshake. In the Northeast, it's sort of looking across the room and saying, hey, and nodding your head. I mean, that's about as close as you get. But again, it's, you know, being able to celebrate together. And for some people, that's really important. I had a leader tell me he grew up playing sports and he, you know, they did the high fives and all that, and he missed that in the workplace. So it's cool when you can find out what the other person like. And they light up. I mean, I just recently, one of my assistants had her anniversary, and her colleagues actually brought in her favorite iced coffee kind of thing. And she just was all bubbly about it because they found out that that's what she liked and did that for her.
Dr. Paul White is author of The Vibrant Workplace, Overcoming the Obstacles to Building a Culture of Appreciation. He was one of our guests a while back here on Connecting Faith. And if you missed the want to hear the full interview of that or the previous interview with Robert Dickey, I want to encourage you to go to our website, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. We'll post the interviews there, and you can listen in and pass them on to a friend and catch out what you need. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the empty nest, and hope that you'll join us then right here on Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.